If you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2. And I do pray for Evelyn and Carl. They're homesick this morning, and there's some viruses going around, so everybody stay safe and stay healthy. And let us know, you know, if you are sick, and let us know you're sick so we can pray for you. And, you know, we want to be there to help you if we can. We don't want your germs, though, so when you're sick, stay home. And but do let us know that you're sick so that we can be praying for you. So as we wrap up this great Christmas series, talking about unwrapping the real meaning of Christmas, we're going to look at the Christmas story this morning. And we've been talking for the last few weeks about the anticipation of that day coming and how important it was. And Christmas is not about the lights, the parties, the gifts. Those things are nice. But the reality is the greatest gift that the world would ever know came not as stuff. Because the greatest gift isn't things. The greatest gift was a person whose name was Jesus. And so let's read about that this morning. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' And so it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all of those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them." What a marvelous and wonderful thing, this wonderful message of Christmas. And though we hear this story over and over again, it never gets old. I hope it never gets old for you. I hope that every time we hear it, there's a newness and a freshness to it, because we are reminded that that gift that was given 2,000 years ago is still giving and is still there and is still so very important and is there for absolutely anyone that will receive it. There's no gift that can come close to comparing to that. But there are a lot of things about the Christmas story and about the steps that God took to bring this great present to us that we need to keep at the center of our celebrations throughout this week. that it's not about presence. It's not about lights. Again, it's not about parties. It's about Jesus. I think those celebrations and getting together with family, those things are good. But we have to remember what the season's about. And it's about Jesus and letting others know that as well. And so there are three things about this Christmas story I want us to see this morning on this Christmas Sunday. The first is this, that the birth of Christ proclaimed God's message. We see throughout this story, you read Luke chapter 1, we looked at it a few weeks ago. Now we're here at the end of the story. The Christmas story actually began centuries before the Gospel of Luke and Matthew that tell the story of the birth of Jesus. God promised that he was going to bring a deliverer way back in Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve fell and a sentence was pronounced on them and on the serpent, you remember that after God gave out the punishment, he said, you know, there's going to be redemption in Genesis 3:16, that God would deliver and ultimately have victory. And the rest of Scripture is the unfolding of how God works that out. God wanted to use the nation of Israel, and so that it took a long time because the nation of Israel did not cooperate all the time. But before we fault them, we're the same way. God could, if we would just listen and obey and do what he tells us, God's purposes in our life and in our world would be accomplished a lot faster. But so often we hinder because of our disobedience or our not being ready to get on God's plan. But when we look at Mary, you remember Mary's response? She said, I don't know how, she said to the angel, I don't know how these things can be, for I'm not married yet. And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you'll conceive a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. And remember what Luke chapter 1 told, that Mary believed these things, and she said, may it be, angel, as you have declared it to be. In other words, she had faith. She didn't understand it, but she had faith and knew that as God had brought this word, it was going to come to pass. Well, from the first time in Genesis 3 that God had made the promise he was going to bring deliverance until Jesus would come was thousands and thousands of years. I don't think it was billions and billions or millions and millions even, but it was thousands of years, at least a couple thousand. And so it took a while. And yet the message is that God loves us and God wants to have a relationship with us. And he'll do what it takes to mend the brokenness in that fellowship, just like he did for Adam and Eve. That they had punishment that they endured because of sin, but God still was with them and blessed them. And we see that throughout Scripture, that God is with his people even when they're being very disobedient. Even when God has to punish them, even when God has to bring judgment upon them, God is still with them. And even in the midst of punishment, God gives mercy. And so I'm so thankful for God's mercy and grace. So the birth of Christ proclaims God's message that God is with us. Remember that the angel said to Joseph, you will call his name Emmanuel. Harkening back way to Isaiah chapter 7 that we read this morning in Sunday school, where God would proclaim that there would be this deliverer. And Emmanuel is translated God with us. And that's the message of Christmas, is that God is with us. Even when it seems darkest, and there's a lot of darkness in our world. Just look around, watch even just the local news and what's going on even in our own communities, but then we see all that's going on around in the world. Listen, this world's a hot mess. And the reality is a new government or throwing money at problems is not going to fix it. It's going to stay a mess until Jesus comes again. Because Jesus is the ultimate solution. But the birth of Christ reminds us that God is with us. Even when it seems darkest, even when not just the world around us seems like it's dark and falling apart, even when our own little house is falling apart, even when it's dark in our home, God is still there. We may be without Him. We may be don't know God. Maybe that some are running from God. And yet, even in the midst of our running, God is still there pursuing after us, saying to us, come to me. Take this great gift. And that's the message of Christmas. That's what it's about. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how you've royally blown it, no matter the mess you have made of things, God is still there. And He will be with you, He will forgive you, and He will claim you as His own if you'll allow Him to do it. Now, He's all-powerful, yes, that's certain. He could make you do it if He want, but that's not how God operates. God knows forced love is not really love. And so God says, no, I want you to do it on your own accord. I want you to do because you want to. And so the birth of Christ reminds us that God is with us. Even when we don't have it all together. I saw a meme on Facebook a few weeks ago. Said, listen, I know that all my ducks are not in a row. And I'm not even sure that all the ducks are actually ducks. I think there are a couple of them are chickens. The reality is that most of us sometimes are in that state of affairs. And yet God is there with us. You don't have to have it all figured out. All you have to do is be like Mary and Joseph and simply trust that God is faithful to the message. And Jesus came in the most unlikely. He didn't certainly not come as He deserved. He was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He deserved to be born in a palace on a nice padded bed, you know, nice clean place. And yet He was in what we think of as a barn, and His cradle was a cow trough, a feed trough, in a little insignificant town that was named Bethlehem. It was an unlikely message, but it's a message that reminds us, it doesn't matter who you are, that God is there with you. Shepherds were, that was the lowest on the totem pole in Jewish society. You know, you didn't want to be a shepherd in a lot of ways. And yet they were the first ones outside of Mary and Joseph that the angel showed up and proclaimed the birth of Christ. And they did something. They went. They said, listen, if a king is going to be born, it shouldn't be in a trough. But the angel said, listen, this is the sign. You're going to find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and laying in a manger. Well, these were agricultural guys. They knew what mangers were for, and it certainly wasn't for holding babies. And so they said, you know what? We better go check this thing out. And so they went. And Luke points out to us their astonishment that it was just like the angel told them that it would be. Aren't we like that? Aren't we surprised when God does what He says He's going to do? We shouldn't be, but we are. But the birth of Christ proclaimed the message that God is for everyone, even those on the outskirts of society, even those that have royally blown it. God is there. God is with us. And that's the message of Christmas. But then another thing about this Christmas story, not only is the birth of Christ proclaim God's message, but the song of the angels declared God's majesty. Angels were doing what angels do. They were praising God. That's what angels' primary responsibility are. As you read the Bible, most of the time what they're doing is praising God. There are sometimes that God sends angels to kind of do his bidding, if you will, but oftentimes this angel is given this message now three times to Mary, to Joseph, and the shepherds. And you notice he had said, listen, don't be afraid. Because this angel was not just like a regular, ordinary person. They were awe-inspired. That if you saw one, you would be beside yourself. And you would know that it was an angel. And yet the angels, when they came, weren't singing their praises. They are singing God's praises. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Remind them that, listen, the message of Christmas reminds us that God is God, and he's the one ultimately in control of it. We think we are in control. The reality is we ain't in control of much. And yet, though this world seems to spin more and more out of control, and yet God has got us in his hand. So the song the angels sing declare God's majesty. That God is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he is worthy of our worship. That certainly is true. We must never forget that God is above us, that God is not your bruh. He is much higher. And yet, even though God is higher than us, and he is stronger, he's mightier, he's more knowing, yet he's all of those things, he's not afraid to lower himself and sit with us. To be identified with us. There are some people that, you know, are kind of, they may have a high position and they know it, and they're going to make sure that you know it too. Those people often, eventually they're knocked down a size or two, aren't they? They're knocked off their pedestal. God, though he certainly deserves the pedestal, is not content to occupy a pedestal. He jumps off of it and comes in a feed trough to remind us that no matter how low you think you are, no matter how poor you may be, no matter the things that you don't have, no matter the wrongs that you have done, God is with you. And so the angels proclaim the message of the majesty of God, but within that majesty of God comes peace. Because just like Isaiah prophesied what the name of Jesus would be, what his mission would be in Emmanuel, he also said that this one that's going to come is going to be the Prince of Peace. He's going to be the one that ultimately brings peace. And the war, the bad things going on in this world are a direct result of the curse of sin that came from our ancient pops and grandmamas, Adam and Eve. And they've ruined it for everybody since. And yet, despite our fallenness and our undeservedness, God says, I want you to know peace. And I want you to know goodwill. And the only way, by the way, you can know peace and goodwill is knowing the one who is the source of those things. And his name is Jesus. Peace does not come from handshakes. It does not come by money. It does not come by good circumstances. It comes from God Almighty. Over the history of the world, nations have signed lots and lots and lots and lots of peace treaties. But we all know that, you know what, most of the time peace treaties aren't worth the paper that they're written on. Just because you shake hands or sign a piece of paper doesn't mean you got peace. Our world knows that. if papers could bring peace, we'd have peace in this world because we've wasted a lot of paper signing treaties that haven't panned out. But there is one who can bring peace. And that brings us to the last point this morning, is that the testimonies of the shepherds proved God's mission. That God did not come to the king, which we know from reading Matthew, by the way, was a good thing because Herod did some bad stuff when he heard of, that Jesus, the newborn king, the Messiah, was born in Bethlehem. More on that next week. But the shepherds, these lonely men, these lowly men were ones that brought a message that God is with us. They said, listen, the angels came. We were out tending our flock, and these angels showed up. And they told us that we would find a Messiah, that the Messiah had been born in the city of Bethlehem, and we ought to come and see. And the angel even told when we got here, we would find a young girl and her husband and a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth in a manger. And the shepherds said, when we got there, that's exactly what we found. Now, did it make sense to them? It didn't make sense. But God's plans and God's directions often don't make sense to us as human beings, because God's ways are not our ways. The testimony of the shepherds reminds us that God is there for all people, that God desires and loves and desires to save everyone who will receive the free gift of salvation. We know the great verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. And the testimonies of the shepherds testify to that truth. That God does desire to have a relationship with everybody. That there's no such thing as a nobody in God's eyes. In God's eyes, every single person is special. And so the shepherds did what we would think. That if you had an amazing experience, in today's world, you'd get on Facebook, on TikTok, on Instagram, on every place you could plaster a message, you'd plaster it. Well, the shepherds did that. They told folks what had happened to them, and that the angels appeared, and what they said and what they sang, and that they got there to Bethlehem, and they found it just exactly as the angels told them that it would be. People were amazed. Mary, though, that knew these things, Mary that had delivered this baby and knew who Jesus was and knew the mission and why he came, Luke tells us for a second time, she pondered these things in her heart. In other words, she thought about what they meant. And so it's a reminder to us that just as the shepherds proclaimed the message they had received from God and what they saw, that God intends for us to declare God's message to the whole world. God is with us. Though the world is, you know, teetering and crazy and upside down a lot of times, God is with us. And isn't it true that we often find when we're going through the biggest struggles of life, that's when we need to be reminded that God is with us? And if you're a person of faith, you found that's when God is with you. Now, he's always with you, but you know he's with you when you're going through those difficult times. God is not surprised by our ugliness, by our sinfulness, by our rejection. He loves us despite ourselves. And he says, I want you. I love you. And because God loves you, he gave you the greatest gift the gift of the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the gift of Jesus that came not as he deserved, but as we needed him to. He came as a human being, and not a royal human being, but the commonest of common of human beings. And as he lived a perfect life, as he lived a sinless life, he laid that life down on the cross to pay my sin debt and your sin debt and the sin debts of all the world. That's why Jesus came. Was for you and for me and for all the whosoever's in the world. So I hope that we're reminded this Christmas, that this week, but not just this week, but even next year, that we'll remember, you know what? God is with us. Because he's not just with us on the week of Christmas. He's with us always. And we need to be with him always. So the message of Christmas, we find this great gift, God himself. The greatest gift, not a thing, but a person. And God freely gave that great gift. And I hope you've received that great gift and that you use, you know, avail yourself of that often, every day. I hope that you'll share that message with others because you have family, friends, neighbors, co-workers that you'll see this week that don't know what Christmas is all about. They don't know they're missing out on the greatest gift. And I tell you, the reality is they're not going to find it unless you bring them to it. Unless they see it in your life and they hear it from your words. Unless you extend to them the grace and the love and the mercy that God's extended to you. God will help us to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, we thank you for the great gift of Christmas. Our prayer is to help us to remember that God is with us, that Emmanuel has come and is still here and is still reigning. Lord, help us to trust in you. Forgive us when we fail to be the men, the women that you call us to be. And use us, we pray. Lord, give us opportunity this week to share the message of Christmas with somebody maybe that's never heard it. Or maybe somebody that's heard it lots and lots of times but never received it and accepted that great gift. Might today and this week be a great time of celebration, because sinners have come home and found peace in the Prince of Peace. Again, we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Fred, I hope you say, you know, I sure am glad that I went to church today. I'm glad to see you. And I hope you'll come back and join us next Sunday. End the year right, so plan to be here again next Sunday. 10 o'clock Sunday school, and worship at 11. And pray that this week as you celebrate with family and friends or whoever you'll be celebrating with, that you'll remember that God is with us. And that's the greatest of gifts. So we stand this morning, and can we sing a little chorus together to one another? We've got to do it acapulco again. But we will sing, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." We'll sing the chorus, and then the verse, and then the chorus. I hope that's the way it's in the computer. If it's not, Bill, you may have to work your magic. And then we will sing our benediction hymn, and then Brother George, pray for it. Dismiss us in prayer after we sing our benediction hymn. But here's "We Wish You a Merry Christmas."